I want to tell you that I really like Micah. I appreciate the 4 years that we've had him here. He's a great player.
You can have the boat or the mystery box.
We not only gives us 4 first-round picks over the next 2 years. Nothing says we can't use some of those picks right now to go get somebody right now.
A boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we've wanted one of those.
Ah, yes, Family Guy. And Jerry Jones, very appropriate off the press conference yesterday where they announced that Jerry Jones wants to stop the run. And Micah Parsons on his way to Green Bay. He's there. He signs a huge extension, and the offseason is complete now. All the hold-ins worked. I'm just gonna next year, I want to remember that.
Yeah.
They all worked.
Including James Cook?
Right. That's right. Sure. I mean, you could say, well, who knows if it made a difference. The point is, everybody that held in got an extension. Nobody was forced to sit out games.
Yeah.
Nobody got really hardballed here. So next year, when we get to 4 or 5 players holding in, I'm going to lean back on this year if I remember to and say everybody else got their deals. So I'd expect more of them. Bean even on Hard Knocks saying, was it Hard Knocks where he said it? Where the hold-in's kind of nice because the guy's here. He's going to meet.
I think he said that on Hard Knocks.
This appears to be a effective route to take, and your GMs don't get too mad. And if they do, they trade you to Green Bay.
So, right, I was going to say, that was the one where it was probably going to go into the season.
Didn't it feel like it was the least likely that the player would actually leave the team?
Definitely. I thought Hendrickson was the most likely. I would have never thought Parsons would actually get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is what they do, right? Like, the history tells you they waited on Dak. They waited forever on Dak. I mean, they franchise tagged him twice. That would be 3 years further out than where they are with Parsons right now, right?
Yeah.
That is, he played on the final year of his contract, then they franchise tagged him, then they franchise tagged him again. I think they may have paid him before that year. Parsons gets traded. Like, I would have thought, they're just playing games. This is what they do. They did with CeeDee Lamb, too. They wait to the end, they'll pay extra because of it, and he'll play this year on the final year of his deal, and then they'll threaten the franchise tag, and then they'll extend him and pay him $50 million next year. I never thought they would actually trade him. Because, again, like, part of my confusion is just, what do they want to be? And I guess what you're hearing from Jerry Jones there is he legitimately thinks that he's going to win with this formula. Adding a defensive tackle, stopping the run. He seems to think, from that clip, he's going to have the ability somewhere to trade these first-round picks and go get something that's going to help you right now when we just went through it. All the guys that were worth first-round picks have signed. So it's over. You can't go get, I mean, maybe they can go get Trey Hendrickson today. They can't go get Terry McLaurin today. They can't go get James Cook. They can't go get Myles Garrett or TJ Watt. There's nobody out there that they're going to trade a first-round pick for. So I don't know who he thinks he's acquiring.
Right, especially now. 803-0550. Jealous of the Packers here on the Parsons trade? You want to give us a thought on the Bills and the Parsons trade? You can. The other side of this, a little Friday topic for you. What's the most upset you've ever been at a trade? Because a lot of what was going around in Dallas yesterday was Luka Doncic and then Micah Parsons. The Stars even tweeted out, don't worry, Mika Rantanen is still on the team, which was very funny. Which gets us to, what's the most upset you've ever been about a player going out in a trade? Think about that for a minute. Give us a call. And you want to make a Buffalo sports history, you're a Yankee fan, whatever. It's the most upset you've ever been about a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also the version of it where, you know, you're 8 years old and you learn that players can get traded.
That, yeah.
I had that one with Lenny Dykstra. But the most upset I've ever been about a Sabre or a Bill being traded away. I mean, Diggs last year was a shock. Shock. Yep. And I didn't love it. But a second-round pick was somewhat easy to square. And also, right when they did it, we thought they might go out and get, like, Brandon Ayuk or something. But more. There's more to that age and role in the offense. You know, there's a lot to that one. I don't know if that's the most upset I've been about a player traded away. I'm trying to think of who it is. I've been sitting here, Joe, for 25 years. So, is it 25? No, 20. Anyway, who even knows anymore? The most upset.
Jeez,
Jason Peters. Are you mad about that? Are you mad?
Yeah.
Are you mad when
I was mad when Takiyo Spikes got traded because he was one of my favorites as a kid. That's a lot of it, right, is who did you love growing up that
Marshawn,
got traded away?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. I mean, for me, on the hockey side, it was Brian Campbell. I love Brian Campbell. What, like, second favorite Sabre, second favorite athlete maybe growing up. Loved him.
He cried.
And he, yeah, he was upset too. I'm sure that did not help that me was... being upset about it. I had his jersey. Like, I didn't, he might have been my first real jersey. Honestly, was a Brian Campbell slug jersey.
Yeah. That was at a time where the Sabres were just literally unwilling to pay market rates.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Right. Like, that's the other thing. He was still very good. They were supposed to still be trying to be good. And then he got traded away for, like, picks, right? So that one was tough for me.
Bernier.
I'm 12.
Isn't that Big Bear Bernier in a pick?
That's right. Okay. So maybe that actually helped. Within a week, like, hey, the new guy showed up and was awesome for one game, at least. I don't know if it was more than that.
I think the pick ended up being Ennis.
All right, well, that turned out okay. Still, I was devastated when they
traded
him.
Most upset I've ever been about a trade. Who have the Bills traded away over the years? Peerless Price? That got a first-round pick?
The best players they've traded away would include, I mean, it's Diggs, and it's you went back to Jason Peters. In between that... they traded Tyrod away. But
Cordy,
that, everyone knew
Cordy
that was happening.
Glenn.
Yeah, no, that ain't it.
Sammy Watkins. There's an answer.
All right.
You might have liked Sammy an awful lot and thought it was really early to bail on that. Looking back, that's fine.
I mean, but who's the guy that was great that they
let's revisit
away.
Watkins. Watkins was a fourth overall pick at receiver.
Yeah.
And they got out of that early.
But the whole thing was annoying, right? Like him always being injured and how good is he really? Yeah. And we did, you got him and now we don't have the quarterback. So what are you doing here? And
yeah,
I don't know. I wonder how, like, because Parsons, I'm sure, was beloved by fans. And I know there's going to be nothing Buffalo-wise that compares to that. But, I mean, Watkins wasn't, he was maybe polarizing, right? But he wasn't, like, beloved.
No.
The way that I'm sure you're going to have more examples, I think, of the Sabres with this because there were more Sabres that won, right? Vanek getting traded away. I'm sure, like, I don't remember me being brokenhearted about that, but I'm sure there were fans that grew up with him being great.
Miller.
Watched him in the playoffs. I mean, Miller, too.
Yeah, those trades.
That would have broke your heart.
See, that was tough because at that time I wanted those trades to happen because I thought they needed to.
Yeah,
you got yourself in that spot by making other trades like the Campbell trade and losing Breer and Drury.
That's where the Peters trade, Jason Peters, might be the closest to Parsons for what we have, where the guy is a great player and you can't really come up with any good reason why they should have done it.
Right.
Because like there, Vanek, Miller, Pominville, those guys are beloved. They were still all really good players. But there was like a defense for doing it, for sure. Like, this is the direction they got to go. Repaying them now doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe that's where the Campbell trade, you know, hit me hard, too. But, like, Jason Peters is, this guy is great, and you should just pay him. And that is exactly, I think, what Cowboys fans are waking up today saying is, what was the defense for doing this?
Yeah.
He's amazing. He was young. We're trying to win. It's kind of, that for that, it's the Luka trade. That fan base, having that happen to them twice within a year, of why are we doing this? So that we can get a power forward and we could get a defensive tackle? Just that would drive me nuts. And I don't have a lot of comparables here for that.
803-0550. Got some tweets in, some answers, and some throwback names. Anthony writes in, I feel like I can say Patrick Mahomes. You could if you really wanted him.
And you.
And they're on the clock. You get to... That's the thing, Joe. Some of these are going to be, I was mad at the time, and it turned out it didn't make any difference. And then there's, I was mad at the time, and looking back, I was right. Because you might have been right about, here's one, like Aaron writes in, Lee Evans for me. Suffered through the loss in years, never complained. Right, we finally get a worthy receiver on the other side, and Stevie, we trade away Evans. They trade away Evans. And the idea was he had lost a step. He goes to Baltimore, and what happens after that?
Like, he can do anything.
He's kind of done quickly as a drop in an important playoff game or a tough catch that he doesn't come up with.
Like, he had 74 yards after leaving the Bills.
Right. So at the time, I'm mad. What happened? Well, it's pretty much over from there.
Right.
Okay. Versus another one where if you are someone that really wanted Mahomes and they trade out of that spot, you've been mad about it since, and then they get Josh, and it's much easier to take. Andrew writes in, Stu Barnes getting traded to Dallas.
Okay.
Jay writes in, Ryan O'Reilly.
It's
a good one.
Yeah.
On the Peters trade, which you said, like, what was the defense of it? If I remember, the reason they traded Jason Peters is because he, I mean, it's kind of like Parsons. He was unbelievably grossly underpaid. And the Bills at the time, I think, had a policy of not renegotiating contracts that weren't in their final year. It came down to they didn't want it. Sorry, we don't do that. We'll trade you to the Eagles. Okay.
I mean, that's brutal, right?
It's tough. More names on this.
That's the closest thing for this situation that I think I've got.
There, of course, the Sabres bring with them in this conversation about the trades that made you the most upset for a player leaving. I mean, the Sabres, they don't exactly have...
Hasek?
Well, I was going to say, that falls in line here. They don't exactly have Cowboys vibes because the Cowboys, while they don't win big, they do compete regularly.
Mm.
And the Sabres, this is kind of a little bit of the franchise identity. Hasek left. Pekka, right?
Everybody.
Everybody leaves. Everybody gets traded. Captains
right. Name their best player that ended their career here. Go ahead. I'll give you an hour to figure it out. Since Perreault. Since Perreault, who's the best player they've had to end their career here? You ain't going to find one.
Yeah.
Craig Anderson had a send-off. There you go.
He's a nice player. Dave on a cell phone. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hi. You know, I guess I'm really glad that the Bills didn't do something like get Micah Parsons and have to lock up $47 million in one player. I think the way that, you know, Brandon Bean is doing it is preferable because that's a large fraction of your salary cap to tie up in one position, even though he is that great.
Well, I would say I'm not sure Brandon Bean would be happy about it. He flat out said on Bussin' with the Boys, if he could add any player on the in the league, it would be Myles Garrett, who just signed for $40 million.
Right.
So I think Bean would pay it. And, yeah, I don't know.
That would be as to say that if Joey Bosa had 20 sacks this year and just stayed healthy and was a big performer in the playoffs, that they would say after the year, you got yourself into like the $35 million range, so we're good. We're going to walk away. We have no interest.
Even that's different because of the age and the injury history.
But just any player elevating themselves to a level that Parsons is at to say, now they'd walk away. They draft, so this year they draft, Landon Jackson feels like a bad example because I feel like there's zero chances.
Go ahead and make TJ Sanders Chris.
TJ Sanders.
He's Chris Jones.
Yeah, he's Chris Jones.
You pay him.
He's 15 sacks per year. You think if he became a $40 million player a year, they would say, no, we're good. We're good. Because that's too much for one player. Keon Coleman goes for 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns. And they say, you're too much money. We're going to let you walk. Do that at any position. Yeah. Any player becoming top of their position in the league money-wise on the Bills, earning that, becoming that. Max Hairston is Sauce Gardner. We think Brandon Bean's going to walk away from that guy?
I don't.
If they had Micah Parsons, we think they would have traded him to Green Bay?
No.
No, they would have paid him.
No, that's right. And, you know, I think that's a common talking point about the cap. And, you know, you gotta do it one of two or three ways. Or a thousand ways, I guess I should say. It's a lot of money to tie up in one position. Right, it's worth it. I think it's worth it. I think a lot of teams would say that is worth it. Not that the Bills could have done it, but it's also, thanks Dave for the phone call, it's also a little bit of cheating and a little whatever. It's cheating to say, would you rather, and do cap hit or AAV? Which is it? Because if a AAV is 47, okay, which is cap hit this year? 10?
Right.
So you can have the same cap hit as Curtis Samuel? You know,
right, for this year.
Right. And the way the cap works,
his estimated cap hit this year, I saw, is 20, by the way. But,
okay.
But still, it's still less than half of what his AAV is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you're looking at SpotTrack, that's because that's what his cap hit was for the trade. So they'll do the deal, and we'll get the numbers on that. A team that was going to inherit him in a trade was going to have $21 million on the cap. So now they knocked that number down to 11.
Okay, like that might have confused, because they labeled it as estimate, so I didn't know what that meant. Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, like we can always have conversations and arguments about the cap, and GMs do have to work under the cap, but it's I want to say long been my belief, but I'm kind of arriving there more and more. This offseason, we had Mike Jannetty of Spotrek on, and we talked about how the Eagles do it differently than anybody else. Here's a good example. I was looking at the at Spotrek at multi-year cap. How many dollars do you have in the your future cap? And just think about it. You can think about it a lot of different ways. Multi-year cap. And the Bills are high on this list because they've just signed a bunch of extensions. In the year 2030, the Eagles have $145 million committed. That is 2030, the Eagles have $145 million committed. Half the league has $0 committed. Zero.
Nothing.
The Patriots don't even have dollars committed in 2029.
Yeah.
Neither do the Titans. The Falcons have $5 million in 2029. Just to be $145 million for the Eagles committed in 2030.
Yeah.
That is 5 years away. If you want to sign Micah Parsons, that's void years, a lot of things hit. I don't understand the cap on the level that people that run the cap do. But what I feel like I do understand, and feeling like you understand something and being wrong on it is common, so maybe I'm wrong, is just that you want a great player, you can have a great player. You're always going to be able to fit a great player. And sometimes that means cutting B-level guys and C-level guys and eating dead cap. Listen, the Bills have a lot of good players. If you wanted to piece together $25 million in cap space and say, I'd rather have Micah Parsons than those three guys, it's not hard to do. Most teams, you'd be able to go back in time in hindsight and say, I would do that. What's better to have? Whatever. We don't have to pick all the guys. We don't have to do that. I just think that the fear of paying a great player too much, you don't want to pay middle guys too much. But you do want to pay great guys too much. And that's what Parsons is. What's the stat? Parsons could not have a pressure on his next 1,000 pressures, and he would lead the league in pressure rate of the last 4 years. What you don't want to do is pay Rousseau that money. You want to pay Rousseau what he's being paid. He's in the middle, right? He's pretty good.
Yep.
You don't want to overpay for guys that aren't as good as Parsons. You don't want to pay $57 million for Tua. You do want to pay $57 million for Josh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to pay $38 million for pick a receiver that's not as good as the rest that got that money. I mean, whatever. The passage time, money goes up. It's all woven in there. But $145 million for the Eagles in 2030 and a team like the Chargers have $0 in 2030. Chargers, Cowboys, Bucks, Panthers, Vikings, Patriots, Cardinals, Saints, Titans, Commanders, Bears, Colts, Raiders, Falcons, Giants. $0 committed in 2030.
Right.
Eagles, 145. The Bills are third on the list with $89 million.
Right.
So I like to point it out a lot. The Eagles operate in a different world, and more and more teams should be operating in their world.
Yeah.
They have a lot of liquid cash. They feel very confident where the cap is going, how flexible it'll be. And if they win 3 to 4 Super Bowls, they've already got two in the last however many years, but they've got one. They pay everybody on their offense. They have top paid receivers, top paid running back, top paid quarterback, top paid offensive lineman, top paid tight end.
Well, and part of, again, like part of their, some one thing they got paid off on and they ended up paying the guy, but one thing I think when you're paying a Micah Parsons $47 million that you are now going to be challenged to do is, okay, you've got this other on top of your quarterback. You're paying all this money to one guy. So there are a couple more roles on your team that you're going to have to, as a general manager, skillfully figure out how to fill that spot without much of an asset, without much of a draft pick, or without much money involved. And like, what did the Eagles do last year? You mentioned they pay all that money on offense. Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson and A.J. Brown and Barkley and Dallas Goedert's got $10 million per year. Everybody's paid on that offense. So what do they have to do? Let's throw $1 million at Zach Bond, who's like a special teams linebacker who started a little bit in the league. Let's just go throw a token contract at him, and we're going to play him. Because we just got it. We got to nickel and dime it on defense. And that's an extreme example because he became an all pro, right? But that's what you got to do. sometimes. They don't even get to him if they go pay another guy $7 million. I mean, right now, the contracts you don't want to have are Curtis Samuel being a $9 million cap hit on your team when if I don't have a middle road guy like that, I can just go do what? Shavers at $900,000 or Elijah Moore at $2 million this year? Like, I'd rather do that. Yeah. Go take your shots at those cheap guys and at those mid-round draft picks to fill in those gaps. And I think if you have the elite player making $45 million, that is a way you can win with holes on your roster.
803-0550. Steven tweets in. We'll get some calls on the other side. We're wide open on this Friday. Steven tweets in. I'd argue the Bills would never pay a guy $40 million in 2025 if they drafted him because they'd sign that person early enough where it wouldn't cost them that much. It seems to be Bean's MO. And that is true. However, however, we've not seen them have to pay this guy's the best in the sport other than Josh. And what do? They paid him early because it's good to pay early, but they put him at the top of the league.
What would they do with Parsons? Like they would have paid him. You're saying they would have paid him a year ago?
Yes, I'm saying if you want to say they wouldn't pay a guy $40 million, that's kind of an arbitrary number you kind of pick out of thin air. The question is, Bean wants to get a deal done with Max Hairston or TJ Sanders in 3 years because he's become the best in the sport. That's not the same as a Bernard or a Shakir or a Rousseau contract. He's the best defensive tackle in the sport. We got to pay him number one money. Are we going to pay that? And you save because you get out ahead of it. Like the Cowboys could have saved on Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Parsons by paying them market rate, which would have still been near the top of the league, but just done it a year earlier or 2 years earlier. That's the point that's made about the Cowboys a lot. Like, you don't want to pay Parsons $40 million right now. If you paid him $40 million 2 years ago, he'd be under contract for 5 years, and you'd be fine. The savings comes in signing before the cap goes up another year, and the market continues to explode on every one of these positions. So, thanks, Dave, for the phone call. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get a call on the other side. The trade that made you the most mad, and, you know, we're talking about the Parsons thing. I don't think anybody thinks the Bills could have slash should have done this unless things were a lot different. And you'd have to have things be a lot different leading up to the moment Parsons gets traded. And I'm not sure anyone should have really expected that. 803-0550, wide open phone lines. And if you're on hold, we'll get to you on the other side here on WGR.